I'm Roby Brock. Welcome to this week's edition of Talk Business Arkansas. The opening start of the legislative session certainly paved the way for a lot of discussion. This week, I sit down with two legislators for their perspectives on the 89th General Assembly. State Senator David Sanders, a Republican from Little Rock, and State Representative Warwick Sabin, a Democrat from the same capital city. As it turns out, and by design, these two friends once hosted a TV program on AETN called Unconventional Wisdom, a political dialogue. So I was happy to provide the forum to put the band back together. Gentlemen, it's an Unconventional Wisdom reunion. Thank you for both being here.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
It's good to be with you. It's been a long time since we've been on camera together, and might as well be here on Talk Business.
I got you guys close enough that if you get into a fight, I can separate you, but I can also put you back
we
in the ring
fought.
Together there.
We so. Never fought.
Disagreement.
So,
disagreement.
The whole point of the show was civility and politics and that's exactly discourse.
Right. So. Well, let's talk about the civility and discourse at the state capitol this week. The pomp and circumstance of the opening ceremonies. Everybody's coming together for the first time as the 89th General Assembly. What was the week like for you guys?
Well, it was newer for me than it was for David. Of course, David served in the House previously before being elected to the Senate. For me, it was brand new, so you're kind of just getting to know your colleagues, you're learning the rhythms of the session, and in fact, I learned a lot about, you know, time management and everything, but which is good because we're going to get very busy next week, and so but I don't know how it was for David in the esteemed chamber of the Senate.
Well, it is different moving from the House to the Senate. There are things that they'll let you do in the Senate that they won't let you do in the House, one of which is drinking water on the floor. But but nonetheless, I think, you know, what I took away from the week was really the tone that really started after the election, certainly in our chamber with the election of Michael Lamoureux to Senate Pro Tem, really carrying on sort of a conciliatory tone, one of working together, one of getting down to business and dealing with the issues at hand, and really continuing a tradition that has been a tradition in the Senate, and that is a tradition of bipartisanship. And I think that's what we had this week, particularly in the chamber, even though it is a historic time for Republicans taking the majorities in both houses. I think there is a real feel that we all have to work together on the tough issues.
Some of that, though, is you hear a lot of that lofty language at the beginning of a session, and the legislation starts to come, and some of the lines in the sand start to get drawn. I mean, do you really think it will be much different than a previous session, or do you think Republican control means it will be incrementally a different agenda?
Well, I mean, for instance, if you go back to the debate over taxes in the last legislative session back in 2011, I mean, what you had were Republicans and Democrats working together to pass tax cuts, really more than what the administration had asked for, but they did it in an agreeable way. Both chambers got together, both parties got together, and they worked out an agreement. So I think, look, it is different in Arkansas. The truth is, Warwick and I have known each other since, gosh, we were college age.
That's right.
We worked together. There are other members in both chambers that we've known for a long time. There's a bit of a trust quotient there, I think, that really enters into the debate, and I think it will pay off huge dividends on down.
Well, and especially in the House, we have a lot of members that are in the age range of David and I, in our 30s, and we haven't known a different sort of situation as to what we have now. The margin is very close, especially in the House. It's only 51-49. I think Speaker Carter was elected with an awful lot of Democratic support, even though he's a Republican. And he even appointed Democratic chairman of certain committees. And on certain committees, the Democrats have the majority, like on House Public Health. And so we're going to have to work together, whether we like it or not. I think in this case, we want to work together. We want to avoid some of the problems that are happening in Washington, D.C. And I think that, you know, in order for us to govern effectively, especially in partnership with Governor Beebe, we're going to have to work together. So that's the spirit that we're entering.
Speaking of Governor Beebe, I think we'll go through some of the details of his State of the State address here in a little bit, but he made a really interesting day after public announcement on the death penalty. Basically said that if the legislature sent him a bill, he would repeal capital punishment. Do either of you see this happening?
Well, no. I mean, obviously the death penalty is on the policy agenda for the legislature as a result of the Supreme Court case that struck it down. I don't think any of us really anticipated that the governor would say that. I will say this, you've worked for a governor, I've worked for a governor. You know, there's one issue that all governors say is the toughest part of the job, and that is signing the death warrants. It's very hard. I think we will deal with the death penalty in this legislative session. I tend to think that we will come out with legislation reinstating the death penalty. But it was a sort of an interesting twist in the policy debate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Supreme Court has, forced the legislature to get involved on this issue. I think that Governor Beebe certainly issued an invitation for us to consider the merits of the death penalty. Whether or not, both chambers would come to an agreement that we would get rid of it, it's probably unlikely. But certainly you have to take the governor, at face value with his remarks. He did say that signing death warrants was the toughest part of his job. And we haven't had any death penalties enacted during the entirety of his tenure so far.
A little over 6 years,
that's
and
right.
He has not presided over a single execution.
That's right.
Although I think he signed four warrants. They've
that's
just
right.
been delayed. We're going to get to some of the big issues here in our next block because I'm going to keep you guys around through the commercial break. But let me hear before we go to a break what you guys kind of have on your own personal agendas for this legislative session, constituents' agendas, your agendas, things you want to see accomplished. David, I'll let you start first. What's on the agenda for you?
One, if you look at my committee assignments, I'm a member of Revenue and Tax on the Senate side, also Agri, Economic Development as well. So I think a lot of my work will focus on the tax debate as, the nature of my committee assignment in my interests. But obviously the Medicaid issue is coming up before us. I mean, we've had a Medicaid system that is effectively broken and has been running in the red, and we've gotten some good news obviously about that immediate shortfall. But I think we are going to focus obviously on the expansion debate, but I think there will be a significant amount of focus on the issue of Medicaid and what we have now, making sure that it works. I'll be involved in that as well and look forward to it.
And parole issues?
Parole issues, when I was in the House, I worked on ethics reform, some cooling off period issues, and I think I'll continue to work on some of that.
All right, Warwick, what's on your calendar?
Well, I'm sponsoring a bill in the House on campaign finance reform, and so I'm also working on ethics issues, and I'm sure we'll be engaged on education and taxes and a whole range of issues. But again, Medicaid expansion is really, at the top of my agenda as far as making sure that we work toward that, and I convince my colleagues of its merits. I've seen the numbers, and I think it's a good thing for Arkansas. And then I'm also looking forward to seeing the governor's energy plan, because I think there are a lot of issues within that are going to affect our economy, our environment, and the future of our state. So I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of the governor's office there.
That's State Senator David Sanders, a Republican from Little Rock, State Representative Warwick Sabin, a Democrat from Little Rock. Sabin is in his first term in the House. Sanders has one term in the House and is serving his first term in the State Senate. Now, the three of us dive into the Medicaid debate after this word from our sponsors. I'm Roby Brock. This is Talk Business.
Support for Talk Business with Roby Brock is provided by Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. Bank of the Ozarks, you have a friend here. More information at bankozarks.com. The Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, we serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And Mitchell Williams Law, providing diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Mitchell Williams Law Firm employs nearly 80 attorneys at offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
Welcome back. We continue our conversation on this year's legislative session. I'm joined by State Senator David Sanders, Republican from Little Rock, State Representative Warwick Sabin, Democrat from Little Rock. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about Medicaid. Big debate. It is going to consume this legislative session's agenda. In large part, it's going to control a lot of the budget decisions that you have to make. Let's start first with the shortfall, the funding gap. What is the number now? Does anybody even know what we're talking about dollar-wise?
Well, it has been adjusted. I think the numbers that we had been working with were around $138 million, and that was taking the governor. It was actually in the governor's budget, his proposal. So that was the shortfall that was in the governor's budget. Interesting, last week, actually, Speaker Carter and Senator Lamoureux came out and said, hey, look, from our standpoint, we're going to cover the shortfall. And we can do that because we have a revenue surplus. Mm-hmm. And there are maybe some other things that we can do in terms of the budget. So I think that realistically is off the table. You know, we've covered that. So I think that gives us freedom to work. Previously, you know, the governor had sort of coupled the idea of the shortfall and expansion together. Those have been decoupled. So it gives us a little breathing room, which I know I'm certainly happy about, and I'm sure Arkansans are happy
about.
Well, and
I think that there were some revised numbers this week that the gap may be lower.
Yeah, they revised, has shrunk.
But one thing we can agree on, I mean, this is a long-term problem, and we have an inefficient system. And one of the reasons why I'm supporting Medicaid expansion is because, you know, we're going to insure more people through that expansion that will, you know, cut down on some of these inefficiencies, people who aren't showing up at emergency rooms for primary care. We're also going to be building in, you know, the medical homes and some of the other reforms that the governor's office has proposed. And, you know, we're looking at more money obviously coming in from the federal government. I mean, they're fully funding it 100% for the first few years, and then eventually the state share, you know, is no more than 10%, which is not insignificant, but I think that it's certainly doable with these efficiencies and, again, with the, you know, economic multipliers that happen when you expand Medicaid. And then on the flip side, you know, if you don't expand Medicaid, what you're looking at is a pretty unsustainable system. You have the risk of rural hospitals closing. You have more uninsured. You don't have the money circulating in the economy and that economic impact that happens. And so to me, you know, once you've really studied the numbers and the impacts that are involved, it becomes a no-brainer. And I don't say that to minimize the importance of the debate, but I think to reject an offer like that and for Arkansas to be basically contributing to a system to pay for the health care of people in New York and California and Michigan ultimately makes no sense.
There's a contrary opinion to that.
Well, yes. I mean, and there is. And the fact is, we have to look at the system in its totality. The fact is, today what we have is broken. The idea of putting an additional 250 or as much as 300 or maybe 320,000 people on it, depending on what our sister states do around us, you know, that is not a recipe for sustainability. So I think the focus that we have to have, one, is a slow, deliberate debate, not dragging your feet, but one where you are truly looking at the numbers and truly looking at the long-term impacts. I'll give you an example. One of the things that we saw in the previous legislative session was that the state insurance department and the administration was telling us to jump off, go on board with a state-run exchange. And we didn't. We said, hey, this may not be the best thing for the citizens of Arkansas. 17 other states actually did that. You look at what's happening in Minnesota and in Maryland and some of the other states that formed a state-run exchange, the law says that it has to be self-sustaining by 2015. So that means those taxpayers in those particular states are responsible for it. They're now figuring out how to raise taxes to pay for their exchanges. So I think the best thing that we can do is have a very deliberate debate, really look at all the far-reaching implications. Are all the numbers that we are looking at real? Look what's happened this week even. You know, one of the things that we signaled that we would really be interested in is maybe looking at something less than full expansion. Mm-hmm. And we were told, no, it's not possible. But what time has brought us is the possibility, maybe the glimmer of hope, something that we could customize in Arkansas that makes more sense.
Yep. Well, what I do worry about is when we start doubting numbers that are coming from experts, I do think we run the risk of bringing to Arkansas a lot of the dysfunction that's happening in Washington, D.C. I mean, we've seen a study come forward by the RAND Corporation. You know, I've, again, you know, met with our Medicaid director, Andy Allison, our Surgeon General, Joe Thompson. You know, I think that the numbers that have been put forward are, you know, fairly conservative. And I do think the debate is important. Obviously, that's why we're in session. And I think that the deliberation, though, has to occur on the basis of facts and numbers and not so much the ideology or wanting to deny the numbers that exist because it conflicts with your preconceived notion.
Yeah, and I agree with that. So, I mean, the point is what we have to do is we have to make sure we are arguing over the same set of numbers. Because today we're not. I mean, the other thing is that we've seen is, you know, a few weeks ago, the revenue shortfall was more significant than it is today. Numbers change, things change. And a lot of the aspects of the health care bill, quite frankly, haven't been worked out in terms of the IT backbone, the infrastructure. So there are a lot of things that we're being asked to do in terms of expanding a major program that's going to saddle future legislators, future governors with decisions based on funding. So we have to do it right.
Does an expansion proposal come forward in this legislative session and get an up or down vote?
I certainly hope so, because I think the idea of saving it for a special session makes no sense on a lot of different levels. I mean, this is the issue we knew we have to wrestle with before we went into the session. Calling a special session is obviously more expensive to the state to begin with. I think it's something like $30,000 a day to go into a special session. This is something, again, that we knew we were going to have to deal with. The information's at our disposal. I think it's our responsibility as legislators to deal with it while we're in Little Rock for this session.
Well, I think, again, we're talking about a long-term decision that is going to have far-reaching consequences that outlive, you know, your media career and our political careers. So I think, you know, looking at it in a way, making sure we're making the right decision for Arkansas. Only 18 states have signed up for expansion so far. There are several states around us who haven't. So I think we have to look at it not sort of in the vacuum of just Arkansas, but looking at what's happening nationally and how does that affect what Washington will allow us to do in terms of customizing a program that fits Arkansas?
And every decision we make is a long-term decision for Arkansas. So let's just keep that in mind, too.
All right. This is a preview of the unconventional wisdom
we're
going to see at the state capitol.
We'll do this every week if you want us to.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
State Representative Warrick Sabin, Democrat from Little Rock, State Senator David Sanders, a Republican from Little Rock. You can catch their entire interview on our website at talkbusinessarkansas.com. After this break, we check in at our sustainability desk. Can pollution prevention make your business money? One entity says absolutely. Details when we come back.
Support for Talk Business with Roby Brock is provided by Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. Bank of the Ozarks, you have a friend here. More information at bankozarks.com. The Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, we serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And Mitchell Williams Law, providing diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Mitchell Williams Law Firm employs nearly 80 attorneys at offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
Time now to check in at our sustainability desk, supported by the good folks at Keep Arkansas Beautiful. When you think of the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality, ADEQ, the regulatory agency that oversees the air, soil, and water standards that are the law of the land in Arkansas, you don't always think cooperation. However, there is a very cooperative side to this environmental agency, and it could save your business money, as we explore in this week's Clean and Green. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, or so the old saying goes. The same is true for pollution prevention, says ADEQ. Some believe that doing what's right for the environment is bad for business, but actually businesses that practice pollution prevention can have less waste and more profit than those that don't. A service now offered by the agency offers free, make that free, help for businesses through its pollution prevention program, also known as P2. P2 helps business owners and managers find environmental solutions that reduce operating costs, increase profit, efficiency, and productivity, reduce transportation and disposal costs, eliminate or reduce the use of toxic materials, decrease liability and paperwork associated with hazardous waste, and conserve water and energy. How do they do that? Through free, non-regulatory audits and free training for companies or trade associations. ADEQ also offers low-interest loans for pollution prevention equipment that they can help connect you with. For example, a leak as small as 1/32nd of an inch in a company's compressed air system can lead to a $5,000 worth of wasted operating costs. The free audit with its ultrasonic detection equipment can help identify those problems, thus saving you money. In another instance, the program identified that by a printing company replacing oil-based paints with water-based paints, the company lowered its gas emissions, leading to it not even having to have an air permit to operate, a huge savings of tens of thousands of dollars a year. There are other examples of the P2 system leading to equipment reductions, lighting improvements, and other conservation and pollution prevention measures that in turn led to big savings. If you want more information on the P2 program, visit the Department of Environmental Quality's website at adeq.state.ar.us and search for P2 program or pollution prevention. You can also find more great sustainability ideas at keeparkansasbeautiful.com or through feature stories and analysis on our website at talkbusinessarkansas.com. Before we go this week, a reminder that our latest edition of our magazine, Talk Business Arkansas, is out for consumption. If you're not a subscriber getting a copy in your mailbox, you can view it online at talkbusinessarkansas.com. Well, what's in this latest issue of our magazine, which is now published 6 times a year, not just 4? Well, this issue features the 4 inductees into the state's Business Hall of Fame, Tommy Boyer, Buddy Coleman, Bill Cravens, and Frank Fletcher. In this magazine, you'll also find a firsthand account of President John F. Kennedy's historic visit to Arkansas 50 years ago, just weeks before his assassination in Dallas. That feature on the Greer's Ferry Dam dedication also includes some nostalgic photos that will whet the appetite for you politicos out there. Through our partnership with the City Wire, we journey to the supply side for an in-depth examination of the Walmart vendor community, including an exclusive interview with former Walmart chairman Tom Coughlin. You'll also find features on pharmacist retailer Stephen LaFrance of USA Drug, America's Car-Mart CEO Hank Henderson, Delta Trust and Bank CEO French Hill, and Clinton Foundation Executive Director Stephanie Street. This issue of our magazine has a wide range of commentary also from Home Bancshares Chairman of the Board John Allison, Mercy Health Northwest CEO Scott Street, Arkansas Surgeon General Dr. Joe Thompson, and Advanced Arkansas Institute President Dan Greenberg, as well as UA economist Kathy Deck. Watch for all of these stories to roll out this week on our newly revamped website at talkbusinessarkansas.com. Actually, some of them are already out there on the website. And if you don't want to read them piecemeal, just go to the magazine drop-down menu on our site at talkbusinessarkansas.com and check out the digital version. That's all for this week's edition of Talk Business Arkansas. Hope you'll drop me a line at roby@talkbusiness.net. You can follow me on Facebook or Twitter. My Facebook account is facebook.com/robybrock or twitter.com/robybrock. And don't forget to check out some of our daily features, reports, and updates at our website, talkbusinessarkansas.com. I'm Roby Brock. Have a busy and a productive week. Until next time, take care.